Philip II of Macedonia. Philip's power continues to grow. Now, in the early days, he and his men had fought with their backs against the wall, struggling simply to survive. Such victories staved off disasters, while each one made the king a little stronger, a little more secure, and a little more confident. Remember, now he's in his late 20s. Turning to expansion, even on a local level, marked a major change, so the rewards for success were greater. The scale and sheer speed of Philip's early victories is hard to exaggerate, for in little more than 5 years he had made the Macedonian kingdom at least as large as it had ever been, and far stronger in terms of resources and manpower. Apart from Chalcedon, he now controlled all of the ports along his coastline, making it far harder for Athens to attack him, while his northwestern frontier was far better protected than it had been in living memory. Yet in the past, other Argead kings, and indeed rulers in Thrace and Illyria, had flourished for a while without managing to make their power permanent, let alone pass it on to an heir. If Philip died, there was no obvious adult successor, for his sons were infants and his nephew was still a boy. Equally, no one could predict what would happen if Philip's run of successes came to an end, or to be sure that he could hold on to the newly conquered territory. Exploiting of all these gains took time and effort, and it is a mistake to think in terms of Philip instantly becoming wealthy or having far more soldiers ready for service. New and refounded communities had to be set up, populations established, farming, mining, and other industries developed as appropriate. Philip was not one to wait for resources to accumulate into a surplus before he spent them, and there was little or no pause in his activity. At some stage during these early years, he constructed and maintained a small flotilla of small warships. He had plenty of material for shipbuilding readily available, and no doubt the Greek cities brought under his control had plenty of crews and experienced mariners. This was not a grand fleet designed to challenge the Athenian navy or anyone else in massed battles. Such a project would have taken years and most likely still have been unable to match the enemy. Instead, Philip built light vessels for raiding, whether independently or in support of his forces on shore. It was a way of harassing the Athenians by snapping up merchant vessels and forcing them to defend their outposts and allies within his reach. This kept the war going and might eventually persuade the Athenians to negotiate. Raiding on this scale was a fairly cheap method of making war and could be profitable. But in the meantime, crews had to be paid. Same was true of soldiers, especially mercenaries and specialists. Philip spent as rapidly as he acquired new sources of income, lavishing rewards on his men and especially the companions, entertaining on a grand scale and giving gifts and bribes to win friends and allies abroad. At times, no doubt, especially in the early years, spending outstripped his means. On one occasion, a crowd of angry soldiers confronted him over their back pay. Philip was exercising at the palace by wrestling with a man named Magetes, who was presumably a foreign athlete. Sweating heavily, covered in dust, the king finished the bout and then ran towards the soldiers saying, "You're right, comrades. I have been practicing with this barbarian in order to thank you properly for the credit you have extended me." Barging through them, he dived into the pool, swam up and down until the men got bored and wandered away, none the wiser as to when they would actually be paid. In later years, Philip was supposed to have been very fond of telling the story of how he avoided paying his men, yet kept their loyalty. His army continued to obey and fight, and there was no pause in his campaigning. But his luck is about to run out. Now, the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question. Leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.